Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Shkolim Yud Dalet. We begin on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Gemara on the last line, Nechun Yechayv Eshichen. We go back to the Mishnah, which provided a comprehensive list of those 15 Mamunim, administrators in the Beis HaMikdash. Amongst them we have Nechunya, who dug the wells, he provided water for Eile Regel, Shayir Chayfer, Shichen Amarais, he would dig wells, water holes of all sizes and shapes, Vavayada, and he was a great expert. He would know, Haidein Kef, which rock, Mekoyer Maya contains cold water. Vahaidein Kef, and which rock, Ispe Sharav Ruvi, contains heat. Would be a good source for a hot water spring. Vad heichan sharav ruvuse matya. And how hot it gets down there. So he had intricate knowledge in this field, and he administered the water supply for the Eile Regel. Amar b'Eliezer, umeis b'nei b'tzama. His own son died of thirst. Now you would think such a tzaddik was a mezakeh sarabim in the concept of water. That was his specialty, that was his chus. And such a thing couldn't happen to him. Explains the Takan Chadotena like this. Just the opposite. This fellow, he was an expert in this field. And that was his mission, that was his tafkid in life. Hashem wanted him to be the water administrator. And therefore he has to be more careful than others in this regard. He has to be perfect in his mission. And apparently he was lax somewhat, somewhere along the way, and deficient in performance of his mission, of his job, to provide water for Yisrael. And on account of that, he suffered this great tragedy. Mida keneged mida. His son was maced, but summer of thirst, which is a water-related tragedy. Amar avichanina manda amar. A person who announces as follows. Rachman avatron, Hashem overlooks. Hashem doesn't care about what we do. This fellow is totally off the mark. Isvatron b'nei mi'oyi. B'nei mi'oyi means his intestines. They should unravel. Why? Just as one's inner is his digestive system, provide for him, they sustain him. Likewise, we sustain the world. We are the inners of the world, the b'nei mi'ayim of the world. Whatever we do has an effect, for good or for bad. This fellow who says, no, Hashem overlooks, doesn't care, he's missing the point. And he causes other people to relax in their avodas Hashem, to do averis, and that's his fitting punishment. Ella, rather, although we find sometimes that Hashem does prolong, Hashem has patience. Marach ruche, he prolongs things, allows a person to do tshuva, etc. But at the end of the day, if no tshuva was done, v'gabi the day, he collects his, meaning whatever we do has an effect on the world. It's a mitzis, it's a fact. And if it's not accounted for, we are held accountable for it. Amar Rav Acha, in fact, with tzaddikim, Hashem is more medactic. Ksiv v'svivav nisara moed. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Now, nisara, generally, is referring to a storm. But then it would say nisara with a samach, sa'ara. Why does the pasuk say usviv nisara with a sin? It's coming to teach us. Medaktik imoin. Hashem is medaktik. He's over meticulous. With svivav, with the tzaddikim that surround, that are close to him, whose actions carry greater weight than the typical person. And therefore he's medaktik with them, kechut ha'sar, like a hair. Every little deficiency must be accounted for. Amrab Yosi. Actually not from this pasuk, el min ma, tichsiv, rather from the other pasuk. We learn this lesson. We learn from here, moiro'oi ala kroivim. Hashem's moir, Hashem's awe and fear descends and is applied more on the ones that surround him, the ones that are close to him. Moiro'oi ala kroivim. Yoyser and erchoikim, even greater than the ones that are farther away. Now, the advantage over this pasuk, over the previous pasuk, is that here we see that this relationship, the way Hashem regards the kroivim, holds them such high standards, has a good effect on others as well, because Everybody sees, look. Look how important things are. Look how strict Hashem is with tzaddikim. We must take heed and watch out what we do. Rabbi Chagai b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman. He related a story. Mas b'chassid echad. It was a story regarding a chassid, which is usually either Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi or Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So either way, this chassid was mezakeh sarab on a grand scale. Shayachifer b'yroiz sichanim aris lo'evim v'shabim. He would dig wells and water holes to supply the passerby with water. Pam achas hoyse bitoy oiveres l'nasay. It so happens that once his own daughter was preparing for marriage. She was a kala. Vishat fanar, and a river came along and swept her in, and they gave her up for dead. Vavun kol alma, and everybody was alulin l'gavei. Were coming into him. Bon menachamase. They wanted to console him. Nicham avelim. V'lo kibul aloy mes nachma. He didn't accept it. He was bitter about it. He didn't want to accept it. All Rabbi Pinchas ben yor l'gavei. Rabbi Pinchas went into him. Boy menachamte. He too tried to console him. V'loy kibel aloy mesnachama. He didn't accept it. Amar lein. So Pinchas turned to the people around him. This fellow is a tzaddik. He's bitter about what happened. He's not willing to accept it. Ba'ava with amuna. Deinu chasidchein. This is your chasid. Amar lein. He responded to him. Look, Rabbi. Kach v'kach haya oise. They started describing to him what this fellow would do to provide water for the tzibur. Kach v'kach irle. And look what happened to him. How could that be? It's understandable that he's taking it hard. Omar, Pinchas heard this. He agreed and he exclaimed in wonder. It was sort of like a tefillah. Efshar shehaya mechabed es bayir b'mayim. Could it be that this fellow who is mechabed Hashem with water, v'hu mekapcha b'mayim, and Hashem should go and cut him off with water? So this tefillah had an effect. Miyad, immediately, naflo havara b'ir. A rumor swept through the city. Bas bita shalaisa ish, this fellow's daughter, arrived. She's alive and well. How is she saved? Is the amri, some say, besuchsa is aris. She grabbed onto a branch and managed to stay there. Is the amri, some explain, malach yorad kidmus roi pinchas ben yor. Vitzila, a malach descended. With the appearance, he looked like roi pinchas ben yor. So he came down in the schos of the tefillah of roi pinchas ben yor. Vitzila, and he saved her. Continues the more Gvini Cruz. That was his job. He was Cruz. What does that mean? Shayamachris Beis Hamikdash. He would announce early in the morning. Ma'oy Oimer. Imdo Kahanim Lavoida. Kahanim, get up to the Avoida. Ulevim Dechanim. Levim have to get up to stand on stage to sing. Yisrael Mamadan. Yisrael have to get up to accompany the Karbonis. Agrippa Samelach Shoma Koyla et Chespar Parsois. So this fellow Gvini had a booming voice. Agrippas, who at that point was standing 8 parsa away from Yerushalayim, a very, very great distance, and he heard his voice while he was waking up the Kehanim, and he was impressed. V'nasalim atanis harbin, gave him great gifts. Ben Gever, he was in charge of al nilash arm, opening and shutting the gates of Beis Hamikdash. Now, before we begin the Gemara, a short introduction is in place. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that Rabbi Shila had a Beis Medrash, and Ram visited the town. They didn't know who he was, and it so happens that on that day, Rabbi Shila, who was the Rosh HaYeshiva, didn't have his assistant, his Meturgamon. So the Darshan would have a fellow who was a Meturgamon, an announcer. It was like a loudspeaker. He would whisper something to him, and the announcer would announce it to all. That day, when Rav arrived, there was no announcer there, so Rav volunteered his services. Now, Rabbi Shila happened to be teaching them about Trumas Hadeshim, where they remove some ash from the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah tells us, at what point in the day was it done? At the point of Kriyas HaGever, when the Gever called out. It can have two meanings. Gever can mean a person, referring to Gvini Karuz, the announcer in the Beis HaMidosh. Kriyas HaGever can mean Gever as a rooster, when the rooster crowed. Rav interpreted it the first way. And therefore, when he heard from Rabbi Shila that Trumas Hadeshim takes place Kriyas HaGever, Tirgim Rav interpreted and translated Kumi in front of the base Rabbi Shila, the base manager of Rabbi Shila, Kara Gavra. What does Kriyas HaGever mean? Achris Kriyza. That the Kriyza, the announcer, announced. So Gavra, Gever is referring to a person. Amar Lei, Rabbi Shila turned to him, Emmer, no, rather say as follows. Karatarnagoyla, the rooster crowd. Amalei Rav responded, Gever is a person. Vatanina, we learned in the Mishnah Shkalim, Ben Gever, right, that was the name of the fellow who was in charge of, he was the gate man, opening and closing the Sha'arim. Islach Lameima, can you say Bartarnagoyla, son of a rooster? Apparently Gever is referring to a person. This person's name was Ben Gever, the son of Gever. Apparently his father was called Gever. That was his name, because Gever refers to a man, to a person. Apparently, Kriyas HaGever means the man called out, referring to the person who awoke the Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash, rather than Kriyas HaGever referring to a tarnagel, a rooster. Ben Bevoy, his job was Alapakia. He administered the wicks, Shoyimazayik Psilos. He would braid the wicks for the menorah, which required knowledge and expertise. You had to do it with the proper thickness in proportion to how much oil there was, in proportion to the length of the night. So that was his job. Rabbi Yossi al Lekufr. Rabbi Yossi arrived in the town of Kufr. Bo mimnaya alayan parnasim. He took a look at the communal services in town, which were in disarray. So he wanted to establish some sort of organized system. Bo'u mimnaya. He wanted to establish, to appoint a lion on them, parnasim administrators. They didn't accept the position. It was beneath their dignity. They were busy making money. This wasn't for them. All of Amar Kumein. So he came and he told them like this. The Mishnah says, Ben Bevoy Alpakiya. This fellow Ben Bevoy, what was his position? Wicks. Uma imze. Look, if this fellow, whose entire shtel, entire position was, Shinisman alapsilas, no more, no less than wicks, that was his occupation. Still, he was held in very high regard. Zachali manos imgdal ador, he was zechah to be counted amongst the other great ones of the generation. As we learned yesterday, according to one shita, all those names in the Mishnah were great people. Atam you, sha'atam nisman achayin afashis, who can be appointed to take care of tzedakah, chaya nefesh, livelihood, lekoshkin, certainly. It's a great thing. Don't give up the opportunity. Ben Arza, alatzaltzal. He administered the cymbal. He was the orchestra conductor. Kel de Tanina Taman, as we learned over there, hinif hasgan, the assistant, kohen gadol, waved his besudarin with some type of towel, some type of flag. That was a sign. That was a cue to Ben Arza to begin playing his orchestra. Vehikish Ben Arza al tzaltzal, Ben Arza gave a bang with his cymbal, and the orchestra began playing. Hugras Ben Levi, what was his business? Al Ashir, he was the choir master. Omar Rabach, Ne'ima Yisera, Hayyadeh, he knew how to sing beautifully. Va'amru Olav al Hugras Ben Levi, the following was related regarding Hugras, Shayamanim Eskoylo Bezemer. He would sing beautifully. When he would insert his thumb some sort of way into his mouth, he would produce beautiful, sweet sounds. And all his brothers, the Kehanim, they would jump back in wonder. Beis Garmu, they were the experts. Al Mas Alechem Apon. Beis Garmu Hayubekin B'Mas Alechem Apon Uber Diyasim. They were experts in making lechem upon properly. It needed to be designed properly. It wasn't just a loaf of bread. It was like a U-shaped loaf, like a ship. They knew how to bake it. They knew how to peel it off the form without breaking it. So they were experts in making it, and baking it, uber de yosai, and also in peeling it off the form. But l'rotzu l'lamed, there was one hitch. They didn't want to teach their knowledge. They didn't want to disseminate their expertise. They didn't want competition. They wanted to run a monopoly and charge high rates. The Chachamim wanted to break the monopoly. They wanted to bring in some competition. Shulchan Chacham. Ve'iviu umnim me'alexandria. Chacham went and they called for new experts from Alexandria in Mitzrayim. That was the center of civilization at that time. So these fellows came along, Shoyubikin b'mas lechem apanim, Sure, they were experts in baking and making it properly, but there was one problem. They didn't really know how to peel it off the pan. Explains the Gemara. Beisgarm would heat the oven from the inside, and they would have the form for the lechem upon them. They would take the dough and paste it on the outside of the form, which is very good because it was directly exposed to the heat, in which case it would bake well, and they would go ahead and peel it off the form. It would remain intact. It wouldn't spoil. So they were great experts. However, the Umnin, the newcomers from Alexandria, didn't know how to do it so well. They would heat from the inside. They would place the dough on the inside of this form. They were afraid to hang it on the outside. It would just peel off and break. Now, since it was on the inside, it wasn't directly facing the fire. It wasn't properly baked. When something has moisture, it spoils, it molds. Voice of Mesapeshes will get spoiled. Once the Chachamim noticed this difference in quality, Amru, they said like this. The fact that Beis Garmu were endowed with this expertise, what does that tell us? Apparently, Hashem wants them to be in charge of this thing. This is their mission in life. This is their tafkid. Amru, they said, Kol Masha Borak Lishbohu, whatever Hashem created, including the talent given to Beis Garmu, it was for his service, Shenemar Kol Poel Hashem L'maneu. So apparently, they're meant to take care of it, and we have to pay them whatever it is. You know, there's a nice verse from Moshe Feinstein, in the Pasuk, Re'ei Karasi B'Shem Betzal, Hashem turns to Moshe, there's a question of who to make the, who should build the Mishkan. Hashem says, take a look at Betzal. What do you mean, take a look? What's there to see? Says Moshe Feinstein, take a look at his talents. Why does he have these talents? I gave them to him so that he can use them constructively, not just to lie dormant. Apparently there's a purpose here. There's a mission he's meant to fulfill to build a Mishkan. Why else would he have these incredible talents of craftsmanship, etc.? But hey, take a look. If one has a talent, an artist, a nice voice, any talent that Hashem may give him, it's not meant to lie dormant. He's meant to use it for avodas Hashem. That's his mission in life. Beis Garmu, who are experts, why would they have this expertise if not to use it for the Beis Hamidrash? Shoch Achareim, Chacham called after them to bring them back. Now, they were playing hard to get. No, we're not coming. Until they double their pay. That was their motive. They wanted to earn a lot of money. Yud Beis Mana, Hayinaitlim, originally they would charge 12 mana per day for their services. V'nosnulam chavdal, and then you double it to 24. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chavdal hoyinoitlam, originally it would take 24. V'nosnulam emches, and they went up to 48. Omer le'an, chacham turned to them. What's going on with you? V'pneima ein atem roitzim lamed. Why is it that you don't want to teach your expertise to others? Get others involved, perhaps to fill in when you're not around. Why is it being kept in the family? Amr Lahan, the Beis Gamma responded. Of course, this wasn't their true motive. They were money hungry, but they had an alibi, they had an excuse. Misoyrus himiyadeinu avisenu, we have a tradition in the family. Shabbai says that osel lecharv, eventually Beis Hamidrash is going to be destroyed. And therefore, we don't want to teach this to others. Shal yumudu acherim, who concerned that others might learn this trick. Viyasu lefnei avidezor, shalhen, and they'll do it. Therefore, we want to keep it in the family, keep it a secret. Of course, this was just an excuse. As we see, they were motivated by greed. The fact is, originally they charged such high prices, and eventually they wouldn't return unless they got their pay doubled. But they thought they had a good excuse. But in any case, as we learned yesterday, Chachamim referred to them as Shem Rishayim Yirkav, because they held on to their knowledge. They didn't want to spread the knowledge to others, so others can be involved in doing this mitzvah. In any case, says the Gemara, but still, we give credit and credits to. B'dvarim halolu maskirin oisin l'shvach. Regarding the following, we give them credit. Shalayotza biyad bneim pas nekim oilam. We never found clean, high-quality bread in the hands of one of their children. He never went out to the street holding that bread. Why? To avoid any impression of impropriety. So nobody would say, they were careful in that regard to maintain a good reputation, not to arouse suspicion by others, and they deserve credit for that. Based on Tinos, they were victorious specialists, Amas actors. Shall based on Tinos, they were experts, Amas pitam actors, on how to produce the actors, which ingredients, what proportions, how to do it properly. Ubimala Oshan. They also knew about the special grass called Mala Oshan, which would cause the smoke to rise straight up. So this was a secret recipe, and they kept it under wraps. For Lord Salamid, and they didn't want to reveal it to anybody. They kept it in the family. And, of course, the reason was to maintain a monopoly, to charge high rates. Sholchu Chacham wouldn't tolerate it, want to break the union, break the monopoly. Sholchu Veviu Umnim Lagzam Yishom Mitzrayim. Once again, they called some experts from Egypt. Voyubiki and Bibitim Akteris. Now, although they were experts in producing the Akteris, but it was one thing they couldn't master. They couldn't get the smoke to rise straight up, which was a prerequisite for Akteris. How is that? Shobes Avtinos, the Akteris produced by them, will go straight up like a stick. And then come back down. The Akteris produced by these, their smoke would right away begin spreading, wouldn't go straight up. Would come down right away. No. Now we see the Beis Avtinos have this special expertise, which was needed. And as we said earlier, why would Hashem give them this knowledge, this expertise, if not to use it for good? Once the Chacham realized that they were endowed with special expertise, Omer, they said, whatever Hashem created for was to serve him, and they wanted to rehire them. So they called after them. They refused to come back. Until they got paid double. Yud Beis Mona, originally it took 12 mona a day. And then they took 24. Rabbi Daimer, Chavdal Daimer, originally it took 24. And they went up to 48. Omer Land Chacham asked them, Ma ein atem roitzen lamed. Why is it I don't want to teach this to others? Omru Lahan, they responded, Mesoris Yibiyodeinu Mavisenu, we have a tradition in the family. Shabbai says, Osir Luchar, eventually we say, it's going to be destroyed. And we're concerned, Shalayumud Achim, that others shouldn't learn this process. Viyu Oisin Kain, Lefnei, Avedazar Shalahan, unless they do it in front of Avedazar. Of course, again, this was just an excuse. Their main motivation was financial gain. However, says the Gemara, we give credit when credit's due. V'dvarim halolu, maskir nois l'shvach. Regarding the following, we mention them l'shvach, in praise. Shelo yotzos isha mishel echad mehem muvusemes mi'olam. It never happened that an isha from this family would go out wearing perfume. V'lo, not only that. Elok shel yechad mehem noisa isha mokam achar. When one of those, one of the members of this family would go marry a woman from elsewhere, he would precondition almanas shleitis basim on condition that she doesn't wear perfume. Why? What's the concern? Shaloyu aimim. So nobody will have any grounds to suspect and say mimasa pitamakturis hamas basmis that they're wearing perfume from pitamakturis. Lekaimishanemar, in fulfillment of the pasuk v'isim nekiyim ma'asham yisrael, one is meant to maintain a clean reputation. I was once standing in Yerushalayim. I noticed a child from this family. I asked him, "Bni, from where do you hail from?" Omar Lee, he tells me, "Mishpachas Pliny, I come from Beis Avtinos." Omar Tilei, I told him, "Look what happened as a result of your family's inappropriate behavior, hoarding all their knowledge. Look, Bni, my son, Avisecha." Your ancestors, the Fishanis Gavnu Lurabis Kvoidim, their intent was to increase their honor. Money means honor. That was their motive. Ulamait Kvoid Shemaim, and to diminish the Kavod Hashem, only they can be involved, nobody else. What happened as a result? They lost out. Lefichach, that's why Kvoidim Nismaik, their kavod got lost. They were ousted from their jobs. No more Beis Hamikdash. They're unemployed. V'kavod Shemayim Nisrava, but Hashem's kavod increased, maintained, and increased, as the Kavod Eid explains, because when Hashem destroyed his own house, all said, well, look at Hashem's kavod integrity. He was willing to destroy his own house in order to accomplish what goal is meant to accomplish. So Hashem's kavod remained and increased, and their kavod got lost. Amar Akiva, Sachli Shimon ben Luga. Shimon ben Luga told me as follows. Malaka de Isi Asavim. I was once gathering some grass. Ani, Vitinak Echod, Mishal Bisavtinus. I was there together with a child from the Bisavtinus family. Verisi Isi, I noticed something strange. Verisi Isi Shabach. I noticed that he was crying. And then, Verisi Isi Shasacha, he began to laugh. Omar Tiloi. I told him, Bni, my son, Lama Bachisa, why did you cry? Omarli, Al Kvoit Shabis, Kovit Shabis, Abash and Smite. Because of the honor of my family that disappeared. There's no Beis Hamikdash. It was diminished. That's why I began crying. V'loma sachakta, so why did you begin to laugh? Omar Li, so he responded, ala kovid, ha'mesukun la'tzadik masalovi. Because I remember the kovid, which will be restored to tzadikim in the days to come, when the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. The Kavod Eid brings a medrash that smoke is related to the Gan Eden, to the Schar of Tzadik Masadlovi. The Gemara elsewhere speaks about the Chupa, the abode which a Tzadik will occupy, Masadlovi, surrounded with smoke. So perhaps that's what he's referring to here, the covenant of Tzadik. So I began to cry on account of the past, but I was smiling on account of the bright future. Umar Isa. Now, what did you see? What triggered this type of reaction? So he responded, Mala Osham. Lenagdi, I noticed that unique grass called Mala Osham. That secret ingredient. I noticed that, and that triggered these memories. Numesi Loi, I responded to him, Bnei, my son, Hera'iuli, please show the Malashim to me. Amarli, he responded, Rebbe, Mesuris Biyodem Avoisai, I have a tradition in the family. Shaloi La'roisai, Libra'ayu, not to reveal to anybody. Amar B'yechir Manuri, Pagabi Zokan Echad, Mishal Beis Avtinus, once. There was a Zokan from the family Beis Avtinus, who I encountered. Umegilas Samana Biyada. He was holding the scroll containing the secret recipe, the whole procedure of how to make keteris. Like today, Lahavda would be the Coke recipe, known to just a few in the world. This was a top secret recipe of the keteris. And he was giving it to me, handing it over. I wasn't in the family. Omarli, and he told me, look, I'm explaining to you. Rebbe, Lisha Avar in the past, Hoyu Beisabat Snuin. My family with Snuin were Chasheva people. Trustworthy, man of integrity. Voyumaisrin, as a Megillah Hazois, Eleil. They would pass the Megillah from one to the other. It was kept in the family. But now that the Madrega of my family went down, they're no longer trustworthy. I don't know where this recipe is going to end up. Heilach as a Megillah, please take the scroll. Vizorba, be careful with it. Keep it hidden so it doesn't end up in wrong hands. Now this was a display of MS, of integrity. You see, he was a fellow from Beis Avtinus, and he went ahead and took this recipe and gave it to Rabbi Yechim Manuri, out of the family, in order to preserve its integrity, to preserve its safety. It says Rabbi Yechim Manuri, Ukshabasivir Tzeisi Advarim, when I went, and he presented the story of Nehru Akiva, Zolgu Ein of Dmois, he began to cry, cries of joy, and he says, look, it's very hard to curse people. Shemer Shaim Yurkov, that's how they regarded the Beis Avtinus on account of the inappropriate behavior. But now apparently they changed their attitude. They did tshuva. V'amar me'ata einon etzrichon laskir l'gnai. We no longer have to regard them negatively. We see that they changed their tune. He was willing to give it out of the family in order to ensure its security. So apparently, going forward, it's all Hashem Shemayim, and we no longer have to regard him in negative light. Elazar, he was in charge of the Parochas. Elazar Parochas, Shem Emunah al Orge Parochas. He administered the Parochas weavers. Pinchas, he was the Malbish, he was the outfitter. Shem Malbish Bidikun Gedoyla, he would outfit The Kain Gadol has begot. Maase b'Kain Echad was a story of a Kain who, at his time, was the outfitter. Shehilbish Liis Tar Tius Echad. He outfitted this officer, and he liked the results of his efforts. He got him a custom shirt, a custom suit. V'nasan loy shmoyno zuhuvim. And he paid him 8 gold coins. V'ist amrin, some say, trey asre yavle, he gave him 12 coins. Says the Mishnah, ein poichse mishiva amar kulin. The Mishnah here will describe the corporate hierarchy in the Beis HaMikdash. The various layers of managers and super managers, all the way up to the vice president and the president, which was crucial in ensuring the integrity of the system so that money is spent properly and wisely. So they had a whole setup there. Ein poichse mishiva amar kulin. The least amount of amar kulin, which is a joint word, a hybrid word, amar kulin is amar koilo. He says everything. He's a manager. So no less than 7 managers were present in the Beis HaMikdash. Ushloisha gizburn. And beneath them were 3 lower level managers. So at a minimum, we have to have 7 and 3 beneath them. The Gemara will actually tell us on top of the 7, to another couple of layers of management, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Ve'enois in Sral Atzibur. You meant to know that when you establish a position of authority, when you appoint somebody to run some money, something involving a money matter, some sort of appeal or some sort of fund, you can't do it with less than 2 people who will ensure the integrity of the procedure. Vein ois nishrol atzibur pachas v'shnayim, no less than 2 people, except for 2 examples where it was just a single administrator in charge of operations. What are these 2 exceptions? Chutz mi ben achya, he was the physician, shal choyle mi'ayim, took care of the stomach. So although it involved purchasing supplies and there was some financial involvement, v'lazer shal ha'pareches, Elazar who took care of the pareches, these 2 were the sole administrators in their fields, she'oison kiblu revatziv aleim, because they were men of integrity and most of the community accepted their appointments, even though they were just 1 alone. Ein poichse megimul gizbar, you can have less than 3 gizbar, these are the low-level managers, umizayin amarkulin, above them 7 amarkulin. Tani v'noitan abraisa, on top of the amarkulin we have no less than 2 mishnei katlikin. So on top we have the katlikin, hovering above the amarkulin, hovering above the gizbar, as we see in the pasuk. Hado dechsiv pasuk divrayim. We have names here, names of administrators, managers, officers. V'chiel v'yizyohu v'nachas. These 3 were what? Says the Gemara. This is the Gemara speaking. Gizbar. They were the low-level managers in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the pasuk continues. V'asoil v'yirimoyz v'yizeved v'aliel v'yismach yohu. Umachas, Ubnayo. What were these 7 fellows? Amar Koilim. This was the next level manager. Pekidim, they were appointed. Miyad, who appointed them? Koinin Yohu, Vishimi Achiv, these 2 brothers. And they were on the next level of the managerial positions. Katlikin, they were the high level managers. And they were appointed by who? B'mifkad, Yecheskiyo HaMelech, the king, Vaziryo, Nigid, Veselakim, which is referring to the Kohen Gadol. HaMelech Kohen Gadol. So on top of the pyramid, we have the king. Beneath that, the Kohen Gadol. Then come the 2 Katlikin, who are in charge of the 7 Amar Koilin, who are in charge of the 3 Gizbar. So that was the corporate structure in the Beis HaMikdash. Very important, so that everybody has to report to the next level, and so on and so forth, so everything is accounted for and done properly. Now, how did this procedure work? Now, when we have some income there and they want to seal the bundle of money, everybody had to get involved. First, the lower level manager places a seal on it and gives it to the next level. He seals. Gives it to the next level. He places a seal on top of that and he hands it. He seals it. Hands it off to the king, who occupies a top-tier managerial position. So now this bundle is completely sealed up. Nobody can access the content without running it by everybody again. Ukshimate, when he's going to try to untie it to access the funds, we begin from the top. Hamelech roye chaysamit. The king takes a look. Oh, my seal's intact. Fine. Nobody tinkered with it. Umatir. And he undoes his seal. Next is the Kohen Gadol. Roye chaysamit. He views his seal. Umatir. And undoes it. Katlikin roye chaysamit. Katlikin takes a look at his seal. Umatir. And undoes it. Going down the chain. Amarkel roye chaysamit. Umatir. And finally, Gizbo roye chaysamit. Umatir. Now, funds are available for use. When you point to a position involving money, it can't be less than two people doing the job. In order to avoid any impression of propriety, any possibility of embezzling funds, says we have a pasuk for this. Al Shem, the pasuk says, "Vehim yikhu, es azor, vesat chiles, vesar gomon." They took. Apparently, anything involving income and money needs to have at least two people involved. Amar Rabbi Chama, Be'er B'chanina. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was wealthy. What was the source of his wealth? Mipsoiles shel luchais. From the chips of the luchais, Hesher Moshe. That was the source of his wealth. The luchais were made of precious stones. Moshe chipped away to form the luchais, and those chippings provided him with wealth. Hadodhsiv, as the pasuk says, Psolacha, Hashem tells him, Psolacha, carve out for you, Shnei Luchsavonim. Psolacha means, Shtei Psolacha, that the waste, the chipping, should be yours. That's one opinion. Amar Bichanan, another pshat, Machsiv, Shel Avonim, Toivis Margolis, a mine, a storage of Avonim, Toivis, precious stones, Margolis, and diamonds, Barlo Yakadosh Baruch Hu Mitoich Olah Hashem, created for him, provided for him from within his tent. Umenu Hashem Moshe, and that was a source of Moshe's wealth. Ksiv, we have a pasuk which says, "Vibitu Achrei Moshe." The Yidden would gaze after Moshe when he went back to his tent at Boya Oila. They would follow him visually until he got back home. Now, what type of attitude did they have? Was it favorable or unfavorable? Was it an ayin toiva or not? We have two opinions. Tzrei Amaroyin, the machlok is between Tzrei Amaroyin. Chad Amar, one Amaroyin said, Lignai. They had a negative view of things. It was the Ayin Ra that they were expressing. The Chad Amar, one maintained, L'shvach. It was praiseworthy. An Ayin Toiva. They were expressing when they were watching Moshe Rabbeinu walk back home. Madam Lignai. One who explains that it was a negative, in a negative context. They said like this, Chamon, take a look, Shakin at his large thighs. Chamon, take a look, Karin at his large legs. Chamon, take a look, Kuper at his flesh. Where does he get that from? Ochel meduyudoi, eats from Yisrael, v'shasin, he drinks meduyudoi from ours. Kol medulei, everything that he has meduyudoi is from the Yehudim, from the Yisrael. Look how they regarded him. He was wealthy and rich. Where did he get it from? He must have embezzled the public funds. We see how important it is to insulate oneself from any possible impression of impropriety, and that explains the previous Gemara. A fund must have two people running it, and in the Beis Hamikdash they had a whole system which would ensure integrity and avoid any impression of wrongdoing. So that was the first approach, that it was the Gnai. Madam L'Shvach, the other sheet that says that they gazed at him with a good eye, they said as follows, Mechamei tzadikaya, to look at a tzadik, umezaki, that's a schus. Take a look at a tzadik and be zoicha, to ingest the holiness of the tzadik. Tuvia, it's great, dezochas, for a person to be zoicha, lemech miyasei, to take a look at a tzadik. Continues the Mishnah. Dalot choysom es hoibam English. There are four types of tickets in the Beis Hamikdash. We discussed in the Mishnah, beginning of the parak, that there was a ticket administrator, as well as a nesachim supplier. He was administrator over the supplies. So the way it worked was as follows. It was a two-stage process. If one bought a carbon which required nesachim, it was much easier to just buy it in the Beis HaMikdash. It was an in-house supply for nesachim, because nesachim, whether the flour, the water, the oil, or the wine, needed to be produced by tahara to be appropriate for the carbon. So it was much easier just to purchase it in the Beis HaMikdash. To make for easy, smooth, and efficient servicing, they divided into two sections. You went to one fellow, paid your money, got your ticket. On the ticket it said, what type of nesachim You're entitled to, because remember, there were many different proportions of flour, oil, and wine depending on what type of carbon it was. So you got your specific ticket, then you went over to the supply room, exchanged a ticket for supplies. Now, how many different types of tickets were there? Four. Dalot chosamas chayim b'miglash. Each one representing a different amount of flour, oil, and wine. The cost of alayim on those tickets were written the following. Egel, a calf, which needed its own type of nesachim. Zachar, a male, meaning a ram. Gdi, a goat. V'chayte, is referring to a metzorah, who bought wholesale here, because he had three karbonis, an oila, a chatas, and an asham. So he needed triple nesachim, therefore he was entitled to his own type of ticket, a class on its own, for which they provide him with all his nesachim. So going to Tanakama, four categories. Ben Azai adds a fifth. Ben Azai Omer, hey hayu. There are actually five different types of tickets. Varamis kasav aleim, and instead of being written in Lashon HaKodesh, Varamis kasav aleim was written in Aramaic, which was the common language. The five are as follows. Egel, calf, dochar. So instead of zochar, which is Lashon HaKodesh, was dechar. So this is the Aramaic word. This is the ram. Gdi, the goat. And then he has two more. Choyte dal, choyte asher. You see, Metzora, if he was wealthy, he would bring three behemoths. If he was dal, he was poor, he would only bring one behemoth and then two birds. It says Ben Azai, we have to add choyte dal to the list. Because he needs his own type of nesachim. It's one behemoth. So he requires nesachim like a goat. But he needs another amount of oil, luk shemen, which they would place on his hands. So that was something unique to the Metzora. And therefore, he says, split the Metzora into two. Choyte Dal, one type of Nesachim. And Choyte Asher, who had his three behemoths, required a different amount of Nesachim. He explains the Mishnah. The ticket, which was used for Egel, what did that service? Egel, the calf, Mishamesh, Imnischei, Bakar. That provided for the nesachim of the heavy animals, the bakar, you know, the bull, the cow, the calf, gedoy the maktana, whether old or young, zohar and nekeves, irrelevant of gender, size, age, they all had the same type of nesachim. So the eagle ticket provided for that. What did the gdi ticket provide for? Gdi mishamish im nischei atzai, that provided for the nesachim of light animals, goats, sheep. G'day the Maktanim, whether old or young, Zechar and Nekevah, doesn't matter. All the same thing. Except for one, Chutzim Shel Elam, except for rams. Ram is an older sheep, so beyond 13 months, it's called an ayil, and he had his own measure of Nesachim. So that's why he had the third ticket, which was Zachar, that's the ayil, the male, the older male sheep, Mishamish, that serviced, Im Nischei Elam, Bulvad, that provided for the Nesachim of the Elam, but no more than that. Was exclusive and specific to the Elam. The fourth ticket was Choyte. That was the Metzora. Meshamesh im Nischei Shalosh Behemesh HaMetzora. That provided for the three animals of the Metzora, plus the Lug Shemen, which was needed for his fingers. So how did this process work? Mishum of action Sachem. The fellow needs some Nesachem for his carbon. Hoyach Leitzel Yoichanan. First he approaches Yoichanan. Shum Muna Al Chosamas, who was the ticket master. V'noisnei Mois. He hands him some money, Makalo Menu Chosim, and receives a ticket in return. He takes that ticket, Boloi Etel Achya, he arrives to Achya's depot, Shumamun Al Nesachim, he was the Nesachim supply administrator, Venoisin Le Chosim, gives him a ticket, Makalo Menu Nesachim, and receives supplies. Perhaps it was to avoid the high traffic, so they had tickets separately and the supplies separately. Perhaps he can buy it in the morning and get the Nesachim at night, or buy it during the weekday and get it on Shabbos or Yantiv when needed. So this was an efficient system. La'erev, every night, boin zeh tzel zeh. Yoichlan, who was in charge of tickets, he received the money, gave tickets. He visited Achya, who was in charge of the supplies, so they agreed each other, and sat down and reckon. Va'achya mois yisach ha'samas. Achya would now pull out all the tickets that he got, u'mekabel k'negdan mois, and they would reckon money corresponding to those tickets. So for each ticket that Achya had, Yoichan has to produce money. In Pachsu, suppose there was some money missing, Pachsu loy. It's Yoichan's loss. He must have dropped it somewhere. He has to make up for it. It's his achrayis. to some extra money. It's Hegdish's gain. Perhaps somebody left a donation, anonymous Nadala. She had Hegdish al Yoina, because Hegdish always has the upper hand. Suppose somebody lost his ticket. What do you do then? They wait until nightfall. And then they sit down to make the cheshbon. They happen to find some extra money which corresponds to this fellow's supposedly lost ticket. Now we know that his tale is correct, it's true. Noisemly, they give him some nesachim. Vimlav, suppose they don't come up with any extra money. They couldn't give him anything. One more thing. V'shem hayoyim kosev alein. It was date stamped. These tickets had the date on it. V'pnei Ramoyin, to avoid, to prevent Ramoyin from engaging in dishonesty. What does that mean? If somebody finds a ticket, perhaps Yochanan dropped it, perhaps Achi dropped it. Now, he's not going to come running that day, because everybody knows this fellow, he didn't buy Nesachim, he didn't bring a carbon. They'll realize he must have found it. So wait a week. Wait until he needs a carbon. Then come as though this is his ticket. So he's a Rami. He's a deceiver. Therefore, they had a date stamped, in which case you can only use it today, and then it expires after today. This will avoid the situation. So in conclusion, the Tanakhama says there were four different types of tickets. According to Ben Azai, he added a fifth. What was the fifth? The Choyti Dal. Okay, Ben Azai, Choyti Dal Lama. Why did Ben Azai require the fifth ticket for the Choyti Dal? The answer is, Hayyumevi, Loigo Imui. See, what's the kash? This poor Mitzoyer brings just one carbon. So let him go buy a ticket for a Gdi. Why does he have to have his own personal ticket? Says the Gemara, Hayyumevi, Loigo Imui. Because with his Nesachim, he needs that additional look, which was placed on his fingers, on his thumb. Therefore, they had to fashion a new ticket for him, which included A, Nesachim for his animal, and B, the additional look. That's why Ben Azai maintains there was a fifth ticket for this fellow. Beram, Kirabonon, maybe Gdi. But according to Rabbonon, they didn't have a ticket for the poor Mitzer. Why not? Because he can just buy a ticket, a Gdi ticket, to take care of his one animal. What about the Shemen? It seems from the first that perhaps he would just somehow procure it. He would go home and bring his own Shemen. The usher, he needed a ticket because his requirement was three karbonis. So once he got three karbonis, it was all the nesachim, the flour, the wine, the oil. See, the flour and the wine apparently was unique and special. And it's difficult to produce on your own. And since the mitzvah usher needed a triple dose of nesachim, then the luk shemen, which was unique to the mitzvah, he threw it into the bunch, he included it into the deal. Even though the Takan Chadin points out that the produce of Hegdash was high priced, but the usher wasn't really so concerned with saving a few pennies, and he just bought everything as one. His three nesachim, plus his luk. But the dal, this poor fellow, was looking for a good deal, and the nesachim, perhaps he had to buy from the Beis Hamikdash. So he used the ticket of Gdi. But the extra luk, the Chachamim maintained, that he figured out would it get cheaper, and therefore there's no need to make a ticket on his behalf. Apparently Ben Azai holds, no. It was common for the poor Mitzvah to purchase everything as one, the Nesachim for a single animal and the Lug. Therefore, two tickets were made. Pastor Rabbanon hold, there's another reason not to do it, not to get confused between two types of Mitzvah. Therefore, they maintain, we didn't make another ticket for the Mitzvah. Okay. Continues the Gemara, Nischi Rachel Ma. What about an older female sheep? Does she have a different type of Nesachim? You see, a young sheep has a smaller amount of nesachim, and a mature male, a ram, an ayil, his nesachim increase. What about a mature female, a rachel? Says the Gemara, Mima the Taninan. We can actually derive it from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Gdi Mishamish, the Gdi ticket would service the nesachim of what? Nischei Tzoyin, the lighter animals, Gdoilu Maktanim, Tzchayim Nekevis. Whether large or small, Tzchayim Nekevis, they all had the same amount. Hadar Amri, apparently this proves Nischei Rachel and Nischei Gdi, that the Nesachim provided for the older female ram, female sheep, was the same as the young sheep. How do we know this? From the following pasuk, the siv. Kacha. He also, this should be done l'shoyre echad, to this one bull, or l'ayle echad, this one ram, or l'seva kvosim, or l'beis. Now, we already discussed nesachim elsewhere in the Torah. This whole pasuk seems to be a repetitive pasuk, meant for a drush. It says, l'shoyre echad, lo manemar, what's that coming to teach us? Magid, shloy chilek ben nischei egel, nischei shor. We don't differentiate between the nesachim of a young calf and the nesachim of a mature bull. There's no difference. L'shoyra echad. Everything is the same. Why would I think otherwise? Shoyra, there would be room to differentiate. Look, ben hatzoyin, the young sheep, ton nesachim, requires nesachim. Ben abok, and the young heavy animal, the calf, likewise ton nesachim. Let's compare. Im matzono shechilik. Since we find that the Torah differentiated between bein nischei kevesh l'nischei ayil, the Torah was mechalik between the nesachim of a young sheep, a kevesh, and the nesachim of an ayil, of a ram. You see, age is a factor. So perhaps when it comes to the heavy animals as well, age will be a factor. L'kach nachlik bein nischei egel l'nischei shor. Perhaps we should differentiate between the nesachim of a calf and the nesachim of a mature bull, which requires more. Tamaloyim, the pasuk says, "Kocha yasal l'shar echad." Magid, this teaches us, "Shlei chilek ben nischei egel nischei shor." There's no difference between a young calf and a mature bull. The pasuk continues, "Oy la'ayl." What's that coming to teach us? "Oy la'ayl echad." Lo manemer. Shoyibdin. Because once again, we could have perhaps suggested as follows: "Im matzono shechilek." Since we find that Torah was mechalek ben nischei ben shana, between the amount of nesachim required for a sheep who is ben shana, ben shana means within the first year, a young sheep who requires less, l'nischei ben shnatayim, was mechalak between that and the nesachim required for a ben shnasayim, for a ram who is within the second year, he requires more. We see age plays a role and changes the proportion. L'kach nachlik, if that's the case, perhaps we should also differentiate ben nischei shnatayim l'nischei shalish, between a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. So the older he is, perhaps the more he needs. Tamalayim oilayla echad. No. The ram is one and the same. Once he reaches maturity, he's already 13 months old, he's called a ram. His nesachim increase, but that remains the same until 120. Why did the pasuk add those words? Once again, to teach us a lesson. Shoyi b'din, there will be room to suggest. Imat sonu shechilik. Since we find the Torah differentiates bein nischei keves l'nischei ayil, between the nesachim of a keves, of a young sheep, and the nesachim of a mature sheep, a ram. The big difference. So we'd see age is a factor. L'kach nachlik, perhaps that shall lead us to the friendship between nischei kisba l'nischei rachel, between the nesachim of a young sheep and the nesachim of a mature sheep. And we're speaking about females. Kisba is a female, and rachel is a mature female sheep. Perhaps there's a difference there as well. Just as by the scharim we say a ram gets more than a sheep, a rachel, a female ram, gets more than a young female sheep. Tamalayma oylukseh beksavim. So we see that all ksavim have the same halacha, that in the female family, it's all the same. Young and old gets the same amount of nesachim. So actually, this is the source for that halacha, that a rachel, which is an older sheep, older female sheep, gets the same nesachim as the younger one. And the Brisa continues, oy beizim. Why does the pasuk add that? Lama nemar. Shoyi b'din, because there will be room to think. Im atzona shechilik. Since we find that the Torah is mechalik bein nischei keves nischei ayil, between the nesachim of a young sheep and the nesachim of a ram, perhaps I would say l'kach nachloik, I would also differentiate bein nischei gedi, between the nesachim of a young goat, nischei taish, and the nesachim of a more mature goat. Tamad lo yimar, no. Oy bo izim. All izim are one and the same. Hikish katan shebe izim matura, connected the young goats, l'godo shel tayoshim, with the mature goats. Maze b'shlishish lugin, just as the young goat only gets 3 lug of wine, of oil, fizz, and sachem, a small amount. Avzeh, likewise, this one, the mature goat, he maintains the same level of nesachem, b'shlishish lugin, there's no difference in goats, whether it's younger or older. So, in conclusion, the only time we find a difference regarding age is when it comes to the male sheep. When he's young, he has one level. When he becomes a ram, his nesachim increase. Okay, time for a brief chazor of today's daf. We learned about Nechunya, who would dig the wells. We learned about the fact that the chassid was involved in Mazakas Rabbim. He was Zoicha, that his daughter should be saved. We learned about Beis Aftinis, Beis Garmu, who had their covenant in mind, and then they lost it. Eventually, things turned around, and they were praised for their integrity. We learned about the corporate hierarchy employed in Beis Hamikdash to ensure integrity and the ultimate security of their funds. We learned about the tickets used by the Nesachim, whether 4 tickets or 5 tickets. Kol tov and Hatzlacha Rabba.